This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Clearwater. I'm Paul Molloy. Good morning. And welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We are here to entertain you and inform you, and we thank you for being with us. It is November the 3rd, Friday. Lots to do. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Fred Lucas of the Daily Signal, and we're going to talk to him about what he calls the myth of voter suppression, the premise that some voters on the left are being intimidated and suppressed from their right to vote in certain states. In fact, he even wrote a book about it last year. So we'll be talking to him in just a few minutes. And did you hear Vice President Kamala Harris? She has announced a fight against Islamophobia. Really? Where do you see Islamophobia going on these days in the United States? Anyway, here's the question. Is she picking the right fight? We're going to take a look. And new info seems to show how President Biden got about he got $40,000, a paycheck, in laundered Chinese money from his brother. What is going on there? We are going to take a look at that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, I think this is a rather appropriate top 10. The top 10 states with the highest percentage of illegal immigrants, the highest percentage of their population in illegal immigrants. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works. We are sponsored by what I think is the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, and I've been to a lot of them over the years. Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Call first for your appointment. They're open, by the way, Tuesdays through Saturdays. Great place, great haircut, great price. 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. Have any kind of a tree situation? You want more trees? You want less trees? You want stump grinding? They got all the tools, all the equipment, and the expertise. They are the best. I have used them. Call for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. So we got new numbers, the October numbers for job growth. U.S. job growth showed more than expected, or not showed, slowed more than expected in October, a sign that perhaps the labor market is finally softening in the face of higher interest rates and inflation. Employers added about 150,000 jobs last month. That misses what they were hoping to reach. They wanted to reach a plateau of 180,000 jobs. They came in 30,000 short. The unemployment rate went up a little bit. It went up to 3.9%. I don't know what these numbers really mean to all of us, but it's a trend, right? So they went up a little bit. They were at like 3.8% or something like that. They're now at 3.9%. I don't think you'll lose any sleep over that. The report also showed downward revisions of job growth at the end of the summer. You know, sometimes it takes a few months for them to take all the numbers in and calculate them correctly. So apparently downward job growth numbers now at the end of the summer. Gains for August and September went down by about 100,000 jobs. August, 165,000. September, 297,000, the government said. That suggests the labor market's actually weaker than we were thinking. And we got winter coming on. We got higher gas rates, right? Heating rates, all kinds of things. People start looking at the cost of energy more, you know, in the colder months, do they not? Now, average hourly earnings, this is a key measure of inflation. Average hourly earnings increased 0.2% in October, and the earnings remain up about 4+% from a year ago. Now, those numbers come in below estimates as well. But that's a welcome sign for the Fed, because it's a key measure of inflation. So maybe what it's trying to say in so many words is that inflation is slowing down a little bit. Now, the House of Representatives yesterday passed a bill. It's a Republican bill, and by itself, strictly an Israeli funding bill. Now, Biden and the Democrats wanted to throw everything into the pot. They wanted to have one bill for Israel funding and for Ukraine funding and for border funding, but they're not getting it in this bill. This is a bill strictly for Israeli funding, $4.3 billion that goes to Israel. The vote was 226 to 196. 12 Democrats joined the Republicans in this one. So it's a bipartisan bill. Now, under this bill, funding will be reallocated from money that was meant to go to the IRS to add extra employees. Now, the people on the left say, oh, look, you're taking money away from IRS agents, and those IRS agents would find all kinds of money that we wouldn't get unless we got more IRS. Well, first of all, you're not going to get more IRS agents from that bill. All you're going to get is you're going to balloon and you're going to make bigger and fatter and more bureaucratic the IRS. You know what? The IRS is already overloaded with people. Go look at how many people work for the IRS. They don't need more stinking people. So I'm glad they're taking money out of the IRS. Just two Republicans voted against this bill. Our buddy Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, she kind of goes down her own road, but she doesn't want any money for Israel. That's why she voted against it. And then Thomas Massey from Kentucky also voted against the bill. Among the Democrats who voted in favor, a bunch of Jewish people voted in favor of the bill on the Democratic side. Here in Florida, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she's Jewish, she voted for it. Also, Jared Moskowitz is a Jewish congressman, Democratic from Florida. Josh Gottheimer from New Jersey, Jared Golden from Maine, and Lois Frankel, also from Florida. Those are all Jewish people. And they're not upset with having just a single bill for the Israeli war.
I was wondering, is there anybody we actually turn down for money?
That's the other thing about it.
Just once.
Why are we funding the world?
Once I'd like somebody from Congress or the Senate stand up and say, you know, I was going over the checkbook last night.
Well,
with
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. And we have a big, we got a big nut coming up with their electric payment and all that stuff, and we can't give any money to any of these countries anymore.
Yeah.
Somebody else pick up the bill this month. How's that?
I think you're right. You know, Donald Trump's, that's his philosophy. We've been spending way too much money on other countries.
I'm really getting disturbed about the amount of money that's flowing into Ukraine that's not being accounted
for. Yeah, that's another thing, and I'd like to know about that as well. I think a lot of people, especially on the Republican side are more and more concerned about. But you see, we got this thing with, because Biden is so corrupt, we got this thing about he's being blackmailed by by Ukraine. That's why all this money is going to Ukraine.
He doesn't want to cause any waves.
No wave. Don't make no waves.
I mean, you have to know who's spending this money. And like I said the other day, you cut one person a check, whether it's the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, cut him a check. He goes down to Amscot, cashes it, puts the money in the bank. we know that the money went to his bank account.
Yeah,
period.
Right. No, I agree. Absolutely agree with you. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, switch gears a little bit. Voter suppression. Voter suppression. You hear that term all the time. We got Fred Lucas. He's the chief news correspondent for the Daily Signal. We're going to talk about it with him, so stay tuned.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Freedom Works on a Friday, and we're delighted to have Fred Lucas join us. Fred is the chief news correspondent for the Daily Signal, and he's also the author of a book, I think he penned it last year, called The Myth of Voter Suppression, The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. He regularly reports on election integrity. Fred, welcome to Freedom Works.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
It's absolutely our pleasure. You know, a lot of people, and I myself included, don't realize that 4 days from today, Tuesday, we actually have some off-year elections coming up, don't we?
Yeah, there's a number. We have the big ones, I think, are governor's races out of Kentucky, Mississippi. Then there's a referendum on abortion out of Ohio. And big legislative races that are going to be closely contested out of Virginia. So, and importantly on that, the states, our state and localities are where election laws are made. One interesting local race to keep an eye on, and we had a piece on this in the Daily Signal just yesterday, is out of Bridgeport, Connecticut. The Democratic primary there was tossed out by a judge just this week, just days before the general election, and the reason is because of a massive ballot harvesting fraud.
There were people caught
on video just dumping thousands of ballots into a ballot drop box in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Oh my gosh!
And the judge found this to be enough of a problem. Interestingly enough. Around the same time, also this past week in Springfield, Massachusetts, there's a mayor's race going on there where A court and the state election commission is looking into a mayoral primary in which they believe that security cameras saw people being paid for votes and for in-person early voting. So if now in New England, at least, people are being caught on camera participating in voting.
Wow.
Voter fraud.
Ha. So, you know, we got two things. We we have a ballot integrity, and then we've got, like you talk about, voter suppression or the myth thereof. I'm more worried about the ballot integrity. I'm concerned, and we've been concerned about this here on the show for a long time, about mail-in voting, because you kind of lose the chain of custody, don't you, Fred, on mail-in voting. And we have mail-in voting, which I guess apparently seems to work fairly well here in Florida.
Well, yeah, mail-in in and of itself, or absentee voting at least, in and of itself is not a problem necessarily. It is when you have no ID requirements, or when you have no restrictions on ballot harvesting. And ballot harvesting, to just to define that a little bit better, is when you allow political operatives to collect large sums of ballots from the county clerk's office and so forth, and then distribute those out. That kind of opens the door to certainly ballot fraud. You don't know whether that that person actually filled out their own ballot or find it. You don't know whether a voter was intimidated. Oftentimes, in ballot harvesting, somebody standing over a voter's shoulder as they mark their ballot.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, people are taken advantage of in nursing homes or senior homes.
Oh, absolutely right.
At a mass level.
Now, it used to be that the only mail-in voting situation you ever worried about was overseas military voting. Everybody else went to the precinct and voted. So we never had this issue of so-called election integrity like we have now. So we get COVID, and all of a sudden all these states start saying, look, you don't need to go to a precinct and hang around with other people. You can do this from the comfort of your home. We're going to mail you out a ballot. Well, you know doggone well that all kinds of ballots are going out to the wrong people, and people that aren't alive anymore or they moved. And this has always been the thing about, for me, the idea of the chain of custody. But let's get to this situation with what you call the myth of voter suppression. And let's plug your book. You are the author of the book, The Myth of Voter Suppression, The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. Tell us a little bit about this. I mean, you know, every once in a while, I think we got it in Georgia, we've got it in several other states. Somebody, especially on the Democratic side of the ledger, will say, oh, yeah, you know, people are being intimidated. They don't have the opportunity to vote or to get to the precinct or whatever. What is going on with that?
Yeah, that is something the left, it's been a popular soundbite, but it's pretty much an evidence-free argument. In modern times, there's no evidence of voter suppression happening right now. As we talked about, there's plenty of evidence of voter fraud. There's been cases where elections have been overturned. There's been cases where people have been prosecuted for this. As far as voter suppression, Democrats have pointed to various disparate impact studies and so forth to say that this voter ID law affects one group more than another, but they haven't been able to produce a plaintiff who's been there to say, I am a legally eligible voter and I was denied the right to vote. No case like that has been adjudicated. Despite this sort of absurd narrative from Stacey Abrams' group, Fair Fight Action, these older groups like the Brennan Legal Center and so forth out of New York University, nothing like that has been adjudicated or proven. And it's really just, as I said, an evidence-free argument.
Yeah. In fact, has it not been mostly associated with the, I would call it, the fiction that black people are somehow intimidated and not being allowed the chance to vote, being kept from the polls or whatever? Wasn't that the premise of most of this in the recent past?
Well, that is kind of a narrative that Democrats have largely tried to use here. And, of course, I mean, there's a horrible history of like when we actually did have voter suppression. There was a real Jim Crow era. The whole Jim Crow 2.0 is nonsense that Joe Biden threw out there, and Stacey Abrams threw out there, and others. But one thing that I do point out in the book, the myth of voter suppression, and that is that the original Jim Crow, that was a Democratic Party construct. Also, what was also a major part of the Democratic Party, not in the South, were these big political machines such as Tammany Hall out of New York and various other similar organizations and throughout large cities in the United States that and they had a similar goal in mind, which was to subvert and construct election laws just for the sole purpose of getting Democrats elected and keeping them in power.
Having come from Chicago, I can tell you, and years and years ago, you know, that was the one place, they would always talk about with, at that time, Mayor Daley Democratic machine. My colleague, Ed Davis, I think he has a thought or a question for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, actually, I heard a ridiculous thing yesterday on one of the radio shows that the argument that felons should be allowed to vote, and the only reason they're not is because they're black, and they're was trying to suppress black people from voting, which raises the argument, I guess, white people don't get felonies. But along with that, you have to remember that Bloomberg, during the election, paid in Florida, $10 million on people that owed fines so they could vote? Unheard of. That's never happened in this country before. So your thoughts on felons should be allowed to vote?
Yeah, right now it's pretty much a state-by-state decision as to whether convicted felons can vote or whether they get their voting rights restored. There's usually a process for that. But, yeah, I do remember Terry McAuliffe here in my home state, Virginia, where I live. He did this back when he was governor. He did this sort of blanket restoration of felon voting rights right before the 2016 election. For Virginia, to ensure Hillary Clinton carried the state, which is interesting. And then something I write about a lot in the book, The Myth of Voter Suppression, is this executive order, which is an all-of-government executive order by Joe Biden to require federal agencies to effectively become voter registration agencies and voter participation agencies. One aspect of that is that they get the U.S. Bureau of Prisons involved in letting outgoing inmates know about how to register to vote and give them all the information that they need for that. So, yeah, I mean, there's this view, at least among Democrats, that they're going to have the felon vote, which probably doesn't say a lot for the Democrats.
No, it does. Here in Florida, we did have the I think it was on one of our ballots, as a matter of fact, whether after somebody had served their time, should they be allowed to vote? And of course, you can.
Yeah, you
can. But the one caveat was that you also had to pay up all of the whatever cost you
restitution.
Still owed, and that was the thing. Where Democrats said, felons are not allowed to, these felons that they're talking about that were not allowed to vote hadn't fulfilled their legal obligations as felons. And once they did, they were allowed to vote. So that was kind of...
And by the way, I misquoted. Bloomberg paid $100 million, not $10 million. To pay fines in Florida.
To find voter suppression.
And remember, that's when he was running for president.
And they never found it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about Michael Bloomberg.
Turned out not to be a great investment. His whole presidential campaign was not the best. But interestingly, on that point, there was a point in time when California was pushing to have incarcerated people to vote, allow them while they're in jail.
While they're still in jail.
You can imagine that they're so if you can imagine the kind of ballot harvesting scam you could have with that.
Indeed. Hey, we're talking with Fred Lucas. He is the chief news correspondent at the Daily Signal. It's his job, among other things, to report on election integrity matters. And he's got a book called The Myth of Voter Suppression, The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. I think it came out, about a year ago? Fred, it's still available, right?
Yeah, right before the midterm. Yeah, yes, still available and pertinent to everything that's happening today because you still have a lot of election irregularities and you still have the Democrats fighting every election integrity reform that's out there.
I got to ask you this in as we kind of end our conversation with you. Donald Trump, you know, claiming that there was all kinds of voter fraud in different places, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In your opinion, based on everything that you know, overall, was that election against Joe Biden, was that a fairly clean election?
What we can say with absolute certainty on that, on the 2020 election, is that I do have a chapter in the book about that. It's just called Uncomfortable Truth about the 2020 election. And what we can say with absolute certainty on that is that election laws and procedures were changed en masse, and they were across states for the benefit of one candidate over another. And that was the biggest problem, and that's the most provable problem that we can point to in the 2020 election.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you so very much for coming on with us, Fred. I hope we can do this again.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on.
All right, sir. Good luck to you. All right. Fred Lucas, Daily Signal.
We got a caller, a friend of Andrew's, about the election. His name is Chris.
Did he want to ask a question? Do we still have...
Yeah, no, he's gone, but he...
All right.
This guy wanted to talk to you real quickly about the election.
All right, sure. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Real good, thank you.
Wonderful. So I was told that you guys were talking about election integrity and rigged elections and all of that fun stuff. So I figured I would call in and drop some truth in here.
Sure.
I'm an election fraud expert and campaign finance fraud expert. My work has been all over the United States. I do live here in Pinellas County. And we have a massive problem with election fraud here in Pinellas County. However, the problem really isn't so much small felons mistakenly voting because they've been told to. The problem is directly within the supervisor of elections office and the people who are participants in the Florida election fraud mafia.
Hmm. In the supervisor of elections office in Pinellas County?
That is correct.
All right. What information do you have about fraud in the supervisor of elections office?
All of it. I'm actually in litigation right now suing Julie Marcus, the supervisor of elections office, and Dustin Chase, her deputy, over significant election fraud, over altering of election documents, interfering with ballots being cast, perjury, uttering, quite a few serious.
You have a case in court?
Yes, right now. Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
I have a mandamus case currently in Pinellas County. What had happened was I had requested some documents, and Julie Marcus and Dustin Chase illegally tried to prevent me from getting access to these documents. The reason why they were illegally doing that was that they were trying to cover up the evidence of their actual election fraud, their actual interfering with Pinellas County voters casting their ballots. And
how are they interfering with voting in Pinellas? What are they doing?
Okay, so they use several methods of fraud. One of the ones that we had focused on and are suing them on is related to the machine configurations with the ESNS tabulators. What we had discovered in Lee County in Florida was that there were large numbers of 100% blank ballots being cast in elections. And we said, hey, what's going on here with that? This is kind of strange. Why would so many thousands or tens of thousands of people be casting a 100% blank ballot? And the answers that they gave us in various counties here in Florida didn't make any sense. And so I requested these documents that would show these counts here in Pinellas County. However, the documents that were provided by Julie Marcus's office, in particular Dustin Chase, they had altered these ESNS machine reports to hide the number of blank ballots that were cast. Okay, now this is an important thing because in 2020, Donald Trump lost by, I believe it was 1,241 votes in Pinellas County. However, there were many, 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 many thousands of blank ballots cast in the election.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Chris, I appreciate you calling in. We don't really have the time to go into it any deeper. I wish you well on it. Thank you very much for calling. Maybe we can kind of keep tabs on what's going on.
Yes, so you would want to check out Gleason versus Julie Marcus in the Pinellas County Supervisor of Elections. The case is active and it is live.
Okay.
And so be sure to check that out.
All right. Thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate you calling.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, among other things, it seems that President Biden, he got a $40,000 paycheck from his wonderful brother, except maybe that came from laundered Chinese money. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back, Freedom Works. It's Friday. Thank you so very much for being with us. And hey, I see that the House Oversight Committee is kind of back in action when it comes to the Biden family. They claim that info released on Wednesday show that good old Joe Biden got $40,000 in laundered Chinese money. He got it from his brother's bank account. His brother and his brother's wife sent him a check. Supposedly, it was supposed to be a loan repayment. That's what they put in, you know, the memo section. They claim that if you look at the check, you see on the memo section that it says loan repayment. So what's the big deal here, right? Biden said originally, if you remember when he was running against Trump in the 2020 debate, he said, "My son has not made money in terms of this thing you're talking about." What are you talking about? China. China, right? So here he's getting this check, and his brother is getting paid from China. What's his brother doing getting money, $400,000 or whatever it was, coming in from China? Since the claim that
Hunter was not involved in anything. Hunter himself contradicted good old Dad, admitting in court he received $664,000 from a Chinese infrastructure investment company. This is just, it's getting murkier and murkier,
It's funny how Donald Trump is being trying to be prosecuted right now because supposedly he overestimated himself
overvalued his property to get a loan.
Yet there's a money trail coming in on Biden would not believe it. And absolutely, not one leftist show to hear anything about it.
Never.
Nothing.
So we got Andrew the Master Barber with us. He's taking a break from cutting hair to talk to us. Andrew, how are you?
I'm living the dream. You know me.
I know you're living the dream.
I tell you, I'm listening to the show today, and I'm losing faith in everything.
Yeah.
The last two people you had talking about voting, that's all messed up.
It has been.
You got Biden sitting there getting all kinds of payments. Nobody's going to do nothing. They got all kinds of proof.
Yeah,
Where do we go from here?
I think we absolutely clear all of them off the table. Just swipe the table clean, and just let them all slide right off the table, and we start over again.
New people. I missed this morning at Hezbollah news brief that they were going to put on TV. I happened to miss it. I was busy. Did anybody hear what that was about?
Yes, indeed. In fact, I've got it right up here. Hezbollah leader Syed Hassan Nasrallah has claimed today during a televised speech that he was not aware of plans behind the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel. He was not aware of it. He called the brutal assault that took the lives of over 1,400 Israeli citizens a heroic, brave act. He says, we salute it.
We salute the bomb, what they did?
Yeah. Praising Hamas for its violent attack and referring to Israel as the occupiers. So now you know how Hezbollah feels about it.
If he didn't know about it, well, then take the video, say, Hezbollah boy, here's the video since you missed it.
I know.
Here are the children being cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable,
yeah,
isn't it?
Of course it's unbelievable.
And like I say, where are we going from here? Our bases over there have been hit how many times? And Joe Biden bombs an empty warehouse, I guess. And so, that was the retaliation.
So we got our Secretary of State running over there now and trying to talk Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, into a ceasefire or whatever you want to call it.
Of course, they need time to rebuild over there so Hamas can rebuild in between to go back and get them again. What is wrong with this administration we got? Are they that stupid?
Well, you know, it boggles the mind. First of all, if I was Netanyahu, I'd say, no thanks, we don't need your input here. We'll decide, since we were the ones that were attacked, we'll decide how we're going to handle this.
Exactly.
I can understand that they're wanting to free the hostages and to be delicate about it, but you can't go over there and say, all right, you guys are the ones that were attacked, now let us tell you how to run war.
You know,
I don't think so.
With the intelligence they got, I'm quite sure if they already know if those hostages are alive or dead.
Mm-hmm.
With all the bombing that's been going on over there, let's face it, have you seen the pictures of Gaza?
It's been reduced to rubble.
It looks worse than, you know, Germany and Europe during World War II.
It looks terrible.
And I don't believe those hostages are alive.
Well,
and if they aren't, they just need to go in there and take care of business.
Yeah, the whole thing is just horrible. You know, if you step back from all of this and you go, is this because of politics and religion? All of these, how many people over the eons have died over in that area because of a belief?
Religion.
Because of religion. Because you believe God said this and I believe God said that. So I'm going to kill you because you don't believe what I believe.
In the 21st century, you think people would be smarter than that, don't you?
You would.
But
it's the Hatfields and McCoy over the eons, you know what I mean?
Over 5,000 years.
Yeah, two groups of people that probably forgot what the original argument was about, but they're going to go ahead and kill the other ones because they don't think the same way they do.
Exactly. I mean, this has got to come to an end. There's no question about it. Yeah, and, it's, you know, like Ed said, they're sitting there prosecuting Donald Trump, man, the only guy trying to save the country. They're trying to hang him. Meanwhile, they're letting the country fall apart. What about the mayor of New York's entourage, their house getting raided by the FBI?
Yeah, that's something we didn't talk about.
Oops.
Tell us about it, first of all. So set it up. What happened? They are did they arrest his fundraiser, or there are the FBI's checking into his activities?
Well,
or what?
They went after her, this one main fundraiser, some woman, her company. And, you know, because the mayor of New York turned against Biden on his immigration policies, they're trying to say that the FBI is raiding her now, just like they went after Trump because she turned on Biden.
So they're he's claiming they're weaponizing the FBI.
Yeah, exactly, because he went against Biden with his immigration policies.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, I think it's a good possibility.
Okay.
To that I say,
I think it's a real good possibility.
To that I say to Mayor Adams, welcome to the party.
There you go.
Yeah, well, you know, he's getting a double dose. He's getting a weapon, if it's true, a weaponization of the FBI. He's also getting all kinds of illegal immigrants landing in his city, which is a sanctuary city. So he's getting a little bit of payback.
He's getting it all around, buddy. But, yeah. You know, you reap what you sow.
Yeah, you do. You do. He was actually on his way. I think he turned around. Wasn't he on his way to some sort of a conference involving Chicago and New York?
Yeah,
and maybe
yeah.
Somebody in California, Los Angeles, or something that wanted more money from the federal government to fund the illegal immigrants?
Well, when he heard that his protege's house got raided, he walked out of the conference.
Yeah.
And went home.
And went home. Yeah, that's yeah, a, that's something
out,
else.
He went home. But, you know, it's a shame what's going on. And what about Rick Scott endorsing Donald Trump yesterday?
Yeah, that's another thing. Very good. You're up on it. Rick Scott, the senator from Florida, former governor of Florida, has endorsed Donald Trump instead of Ron DeSantis. Now DeSantis says, yeah, but overall, I've got many, many, many more officials endorsing me in the state. But Scott is a big one. There's no question about it. Why do you think Scott decided to endorse Trump over DeSantis?
Vice presidency.
You think Rick Scott is vying for the vice presidential spot?
It is a good chance, sir.
Okay. I don't think there's a chance, but he thinks
no,
there's
saying,
a
chance. But he might be trying.
He might be trying. It would make no sense.
Trying.
It would make
right.
absolutely no sense. He's not going to garner one vote extra.
No,
not one.
Personality for
you're going to have. Here's the deal with the vice president. I don't care what they say. The reason you have a certain person picked for vice president is to help you get votes so you can become president.
That's right.
That's what goes on. So what is Trump going to do? You know, if indeed he becomes the nominee, I'm sure he's considering different people. It ain't going to be Rick Scott.
No.
It ain't going to be Nikki Haley because now she's kind of bashed him too much. It's certainly not going to be Ron DeSantis.
You can't discount them for what they say. You can't do that. Because look what Kamala Harris said about Biden. Called him a racist.
That's right.
In front of everybody.
Yeah, but here's the deal. He needed a black counterpart because he was too lily white and he was the Democrat. He needed somebody black. That's why. It's not because he loved her. And it's not because he thought she was a genius. She's a black woman. She fills the card.
But I'm saying just goes to say that it doesn't matter what they say. In the end...
I agree, and that's why I say Rick Scott.
Kissy make up.
Yeah, what's Rick Scott going to bring to the table for him? Nothing.
No.
But I'll tell you what, there's still a lot of people, like Ed just said, talking about Ron going in with Trump when this is all fine.
Oh, no, no.
I don't think so myself. I don't believe so myself,
no.
But there's a lot of people talking.
There ain't a lot of people. There's only a few idiots talking.
But they are talking.
Well,
lots
of people talk.
I told you. To me, his best pick would be the governor of South Dakota.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Kristi Noem.
Noem. I think she'd be the take right there, buddy.
Yeah. You know the guy that kind of disappeared as our black friend from Carolina,
Tim Scott.
Tim Scott from South Carolina. Hmm. All of a sudden, he's sort of fallen off the side of the...
He didn't do well in the debate.
Yeah.
Didn't do well.
He was supposed to be the night, but...
He didn't do badly.
But,
he didn't do well.
But, think about it. Wouldn't he be a good counterbalance for Trump?
Sure he would.
He'd be a good counterbalance.
I think he would be. And he's not offended Trump. If you offend Trump, you become, you know, persona non grata to him, right?
But the only thing I would want to weigh out in that question is, what is the population of the blacks and what is the population of suburban females that would weigh the votes? You understand, so, against each one.
So you think Kristi Noem would have a better shot?
I think she'd have a better shot.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
And if that happens,
makes sense. It does make sense to me.
And if that happens, I think they should come out with a vice presidential centerfold.
Mm-hmm. a calendar for the next 12 years.
I have a great. But I like this. Vote Trump and Christie, for to know them is to love them. How about that?
Go.
I like
there
that one.
Go.
All right.
I'd only love the middle page that folds out. Probably a few times.
All right. All right. Thanks so much, Andrew. It's always a pleasure.
All right, guys. You take care.
All right. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back. We've still got some things to talk about.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back for the final segment. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the Tantalk Radio Network. If you can't listen live, Ed puts all our shows on podcast. Go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button. There's all our shows. Bless you, Ed, for putting them on there. All right, we don't have enough time to talk about the Kamala Harris Islamophobia program, so we'll save that for another show, because I want to ask Ed, the World Series ended very quickly.
Yay.
Ed, did you see that? Wow.
See you next year, baseball.
See you next year. Yeah. Texas Rangers, yep, take 4 out of 5 from Arizona Diamondbacks. Yep. How do you feel about it?
Glad it's over. They were messing up my shows on Fox.
Oh, okay. There's a lot of shows on Fox. All right. Yep. I see. So what about, let's go to football. Who are the Buccaneers playing this weekend?
The Bucs are going to be in Houston at 1 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Houston, and they're in Houston. Do we have any issues? What's the deal? How's our quarterback situation?
He's fine. We'll see what happens there. I don't think they'll win that game.
Okay. All right.
Doesn't look good.
All right. Well, it is time for our top 10, Ed, and I think we have an interesting one. These are the top 10 states with the highest percentage of illegal immigrants. Might not be the highest number.
And I want to say real quickly that the determination, as of yesterday, what I heard, that the reason there is not an immigration problem. There's not an immigration problem. The problem is that we don't like people of skin color coming in. White immigrants coming in are fine. It's the ones with the colored skin.
Oh.
But they don't realize that terrorism has all different colored skin colors. They
exactly.
Don't, and these
you don't have to be a certain skin color to be a terrorist.
You and I don't want these dirty people coming into our country. I don't know if they've seen the news lately. You both go to your CNN or whatever and look at these people coming in with brand new shoes, brand new shirts, shorts, cell phones, money. And they're staying.
They don't look poor, do they?
They're staying in New York at a hotel.
Yeah. Nice work if you can get it.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. 10 states with the highest percentage of illegal immigrants comes from InsiderMonkey.com. This is as of July of this year. Number 10, Illinois, 4.15% of its population are illegal, and that comes to about 527,000 people. Number 9, New Mexico, yeah, 4.32% of their population illegal. That comes to 91,000 people. Number 8, right here in Florida, we're number 8. 4.52% of our population is illegal. 978,500 people in this state are illegal. Number 7, Maryland, 4.71%. It comes to 225,000 illegals. Number 6, New York, 4.87% of that state's population illegal, 958,000 people. Number 5, Arizona, 4.94%, comes to 363,000 people. Number 4, New Jersey, yeah, that one kind of surprised me a little bit. 6.26% of New Jersey's population is illegal. 568,500 people.
When they're kidnapped from the border, they're brought into New Jersey.
Yeah, because why would you want to go to New Jersey on your own?
They're kidnapped. And they're kidnapped to go to hotels in New York, too.
Yeah, right. Number 3.
Oh, hey, wrong one.
That's all right. I don't mind a little change. Texas is number 3, 6.77%. We knew Texas was going to be there.
They're getting the brunt of it.
Of course. 1,982,500 people in that state are illegal. Number 2, would you believe Nevada? Nevada's got 7.4% of their population with illegal immigrants. It comes to 230,500. Okay, Ed, what do you think is the number one state with the highest percentage of illegal immigrants?
I'll go to California.
Bingo! Yeah. California, 7.63% of its huge population. You know how many people that comes to?
Mm.
Comes to over 3 million. It comes to 3,002,500 people that are illegal in the Golden State.
Saw a video online of neighborhoods that were going to march in the streets because a bunch of illegals are going to be dropped off and they're going to be housed at this old hotel, school, whatever. And across from that school is a K through 12 school. And none of these people have been vetted or anything
like
that.
Yeah, that's really, that's scary. All right, thank you so very much. We will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Tel Aviv today, pushing for President Biden's call for a pause in fighting between Israel and Hamas.
I've returned to the region to engage in intense diplomacy with our partners that out of this tragedy emerges a better tomorrow for both.